Candace Michelle, and you're listening to another podcast for our community on KCIW, our truly community radio. The area we live in has so many beautiful sights. You know, it's hard to pick a favorite, but I have to say that one of the most enjoyable to me is Azalea Park in the spring when the rhodies and native azaleas are in bloom. With me today are Tony Barron, the City of Brookings Park and Technical Supervisor, and Scott Thiemann, Curry County Master Gardener Coordinator. And we'll be discussing those native azaleas and the rejuvenation efforts that will soon be taking place. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. First of all, will you both share a little bit about yourselves, you know, like where you come from, how long you've been here? Tony, let's start with you.
Well, I grew up in this town.
You did?
I did.
You're a native. Like the azaleas.
I don't know if I would call myself a native. I wasn't born in the area, but okay. I've lived here most of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I left for 10 years to go to school, and then I brought my family back here and resettled.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great place to raise kids. It really is.
Yes.
And how did you become the parks and rec and whatever you are at the city?
Well, I started off as a Parks and Rec Commissioner and mm-hmm. became involved with city government and just projects and parks around 2009, 2010. And then it just sort of evolved from there, started to really develop projects and parks, and then implementation of those projects and parks started to pick up. And there was an opportunity for a position to manage the parks, which was a good tie-in with what I had done as a Parks and Rec Commissioner.
Excellent.
So kind of the timing was perfect.
And we've got a fair number of parks here.
We have several parks here.
Yeah.
Pretty good amount of parks. I think we were looking at 55 acres of parkland.
Wow.
And
yeah.
6.5 acre or 6 acres of it is just Azalea Park.
Wow.
So
that's a lot.
There's quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that you're in charge of the parks because I think you're doing a great job. What is technical supervisor? What does that mean?
Well, that's a catch-all. That's everything else that doesn't have anything to do with parks.
Oh, poor Tony.
they had that position on a ball field called Rover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's you. Okay. Yeah. And Scott, how about you?
I've been here since 1997, except for 6 years that I became a dual citizen in New Zealand.
No way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, too. Anyhow, I've been here since 97, came down with a job offer to do some landscaping for a hotel on the Rogue River, and drew me into gardening and setting up my own business, self-employed for quite a number of years, doing landscaping maintenance kind of jobs in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been at this for quite a long time as far as the gardening, especially the ornamental gardening part.
Mm-hmm. And the Master Gardener Program, what is that?
The Master Gardener Program is a program set up through Oregon State University to reach out to distant or more distant communities such as ours, especially in rural areas, to provide support and information to folks in all aspects of gardening.
And people can, like, take a course and become master gardeners?
They sure can, which is a great opportunity to advertise that possibility.
Absolutely.
We have our 2016 course, which begins early January and runs to mid-March. It's a 10-week course, full day on Fridays, and the cost is $175, but it's more than worth that. It's a bargain for the price and what you learn. People often take it to learn a lot more about their own gardens and about this area. And then the expectation is that you will fulfill 50 hours of volunteer support in the community. And one way that that's happening is the very project we're talking about today. But working with schools is often an area that people put in volunteer time, as well as helping people answer their plant questions through plant clinics and information tables that we set up at various events like Azalea Festival, as well as we run weekly in our office up in Gold Beach.
Wow, that's excellent. Great. So what we want to talk about today is the azaleas, the native azaleas that are in Azalea Park. pretend I know nothing about them other than how beautiful they are. What is a native azalea? Scott?
Well, they're called Western azaleas in this part of the state, probably. They're mostly located on the coast or more coastal areas. I think there's some inland as well, but they're far removed from an eastern native azalea, and they're actually called Occidentale. I think that has something to do with west, meaning west. Rhododendron Occidentale. So they are distantly also related to rhododendron, or they're part of a rhododendron family, right. I guess you'd say. They don't look much like rhododendrons, really. They're unusual in the way that they shed their leaves yearly. They do have flowers that are, you know, somewhat rhododendron-like in appearance.
But very fragrant.
Very fragrant, right.
Yeah, and the colors are just, I mean, really sort of amazing.
Yeah, there's a fellow named Dick Cavender who came down here in March and kind of started this process of educating people about rhododendrons and just all of their attributes. He had tremendous numbers of slides of all the just slight variations on this plant that there are. And he's been doing this for years, so I don't think there's anybody who knows this plant better than he does. And he was willing to share his expertise and information with us as far as rejuvenating these plants.
So the difference between a rhodi or an azalea like you normally know and a native azalea is that the native azaleas are deciduous, which means they drop their leaves.
Right.
And they smell, which I don't think most azaleas smelled.
No, I don't think of azaleas having much of a fragrance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they lose their leaves. Mm-hmm. They have larger leaves. They get to be bigger bushes as well. They really do have a fairly late flowering season, mm-hmm. compared, probably about the same as most rhododendrons, maybe a little later than mm-hmm. the average, but I'd say that they're a fair amount later than most azaleas in their blooming season.
So the azaleas that we're talking about are in Azalea Park. And Tony, that has been a city park for a while. I mean, what's the history on Azalea Park?
Well, originally started out as a state park, and it was pushed through the,
The Garden Club?
No, it was the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, okay.
The Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. pushed it to the state level and commissioned, put it to them to turn it into a state park because mm-hmm. of its beauty. Mm-hmm. It was a unique field that had azaleas that were just coming out of the ground.
Wow.
And what had brought that about was that there had been a forest fire some 15, 20 years earlier. And cleared everything out, and the first thing that came up were the azaleas, and then the next thing was grass and pasture land around the azaleas.
You're kidding. So, the azaleas were the first things that came up?
Not the first things, but they were the first thing to recover after a forest fire that went through there. So,
wow.
And so it was such a beautiful sight that they commissioned to try and turn it into a state park, and mm-hmm. that's in 1939, that's when it became a state park. And it was a state park until the early 90s when the state turned it over to the city.
Wow. So we're looking at, you know, how many native azaleas are in?
Well, we've cataloged upwards of 850 to 900, but we know there are more. There's overgrown areas of the park that we go through and we discover another. So there are more of them.
That's an enormous number of plants. And are they all in good shape? What kind of condition are they in?
No, they vary. The condition of them vary. Mm-hmm. Really poor to fairly good. There's some wonderful specimens there that are just incredible, large, flowering.
So why are the ones that are not in good shape, why are they in the shape they're in?
That's a good question, and it's one of the reasons we brought Dick Cavender to come take a look at them,
mm-hmm.
is to give us an assessment of what the problems are at the park, mm-hmm. and there's a variety of things that can contribute to them. The shade.
They don't like shade?
Well, they don't like shade. They don't like anything
really?
That competes with them. That's why they're the first thing that come up after a forest fire.
Because there's no competition.
There's no competition, and the soil is rich.
Right.
And so when all the other things grow up around it, they struggle. that's known, and that was brought to our attention. And so there are, you know, there are a lot of the plants that have that are under shade. Mm-hmm. The ones that are not tend to be doing quite well.
Hmm.
And the city has cataloged those plants, and we've made a map kind of identifying the problem areas.
Mm-hmm.
And hope to
so that's
them.
Another way in which they're different then, because I think other azaleas and rhodies actually like some shade, don't they? I mean, isn't that... Mm-hmm. They need more light, or they need less light, or what do the regular rhodies and azaleas need?
Well, I'd say that they need more light than most people think. They do very well here on the coast because we have such a mild climate in more light. As you go inland, you probably would be better off placing them in more shade. So okay. A lot of it, I think, has to do with the amount of sun and the heat as well.
Okay.
That's going to make a difference. I mean, you can see rhodies. They have a pretty wide range, I think, of areas they'll grow in. But it was interesting what Tony was talking about already. The azaleas we're discussing are actually considered pioneer plants, which means they're the first, one of the first plants to resurface after a fire. And in the pictures that Dick was sharing at the library about 6 months ago, you could see a lot of burned areas where, you know, he'd been studying, and they were like the biggest plants around. They sprung up, and they just really liked that wide open environment. I think people have seen them in shadier places, or have seen rhodies in shadier places, and because we think of them being kind of a milder climate plant, might have the misconception that they don't like as much sun. Again, especially on the coast where it tends to be cooler and we get all the fog,
right.
I think that they really prefer sunny areas, for sure.
And there are photos of that park that when a lot of those large fir trees, I'll just give an example, when those large fir trees were just like Christmas tree size, you could see those plants, and they're blooming beautifully. They're full, really healthy plants. And I think that you can correlate the amount of shade and competition that has taken that park over to the decline of the azaleas over the time.
You know, that's really important information, because I know that there are a lot of people in town that I've heard just in casual conversation that are kind of, oh my God, don't do anything, you know, let Mother Nature, you know, they're growing just fine, you know. But obviously that's not the case.
Well, it's a man-made environment It's become a man-made environment,
mm-hmm.
and it's because there aren't forest fires that we're allowing to go through naturally. These azaleas are going to be in decline over time, because that is really what they need to get reestablished or get really reinvigorated.
Mm-hmm.
One way that we can help create that change is by taking out the older branches. It'll help force a lot of new growth. But even then, ideally, what we'd want to do is remove or maybe limb up some of those trees. I'm not sure exactly what the plans are for that, because, you know, the park serves a lot of purposes.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. We don't want to set a forest fire.
No.
Definitely not.
Although that was suggested.
By a pyromaniac, I would say. Probably not the best course of action.
Dick, who we call Red, Dick, he had suggested that even the native azaleas that are there that are 100 years old, the root systems themselves could be 200-300 years old.
Oh.
And so they've been through a cycle. They've already been through a couple cycles of forest fires. And
wow.
That's pretty amazing to think about.
Yes.
And here we are in this brief moment in time. If we could only go back in a time capsule and see what that park looked like in the early, you know, 1900s, 1910,
mm-hmm.
or even before the forest fire that came through there, see what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
If only we could do that. And here we are now, going to this park that's man-made, it's open to the public, and we see everything that's there and cherish everything that's there. And I think it's unfortunate, because we forget about what it was that made the native azalea so healthy and what made that park. And we have to balance that in some way. And I think this is a great start to that, is this community education about you know, how they do and how we handle them.
So I would imagine the first step was having Mr. Cavender come down and do his talk and evaluate the azaleas and stuff. And now what you're moving into is the actual kind of taking care of it phase where you're going to have work parties.
It was important that we had a portion of this as a community outreach. And not only that, but just to have an expert come in and be, you know, a person that could really establish groundwork for us. That way there wouldn't be any infighting with the public in the city, you know, arguing about what it is that needs to be done. We really wanted somebody to come in and tell us how to handle this. And Dick provided that information. He gave us great guidelines. And now we're in the implementation phase of this and educating the community about it. We've experienced going out in the park and pruning azaleas, and there's always one or two park visitors that comes up and asks us, "What are we doing? You know, what are you doing?
Don't touch them."
Yeah, and so you know we have to stop. And mm-hmm. So this is really good for us. I think if we establish protocol on how to handle the azaleas and give the public an opportunity to see that, then there's more work can continue in the future. Mm-hmm. And that's the hope of this, and I think this is a great start of that.
So you wanted to say something, Scott?
I was just going to say, yeah, if people are involved in the process, they'll be able to see the changes that occur mm-hmm. from rejuvenating work that we do, especially the cutting of the old limbs and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They'll have a part in how the azaleas go forward and seeing right. what a difference it does make.
So are there some azaleas that are dying?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, their decline, you can graph their decline every year.
Wow.
And, you know, it's we've gone in and done some significant pruning on a plant that I would categorize as in very poor condition. Mm-hmm. And a year, two, or three down the road, it's healthy.
Really?
Full.
Wow.
Not as tall and big and
sure
and old growth looking, but you can see it's healthy. The mm-hmm. the leaves have a sheen to them. They may not have flowered the first or second year, but the right. third year they're starting to get flowers on right. them. And those plants that you see after a third year of pruning are very similar to what we would have seen in the mm-hmm. early 30s mm-hmm. and 20s. And so I think there's a whole new generation that can experience this park in a way that an older generation has. And we have to start that process now.
And I think it's an excellent idea to educate people so that you don't have to fight the battle every year with, you know, people who don't understand what the process is.
Well, and being shrubs, just like there's other ones as well, like blueberries is an example, where if you don't rejuvenate them, if you don't cut back old branches, you end up with a kind of a non-productive old scrubby thing. You know, and the idea is that you'll kind of do this as an ongoing process where you don't just do it once and that's it. You know, you take out branches over time, and mm-hmm. that's really the best way to prune a lot of shrubs. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a how to put this? I'm not sure, man-made way, but it as far as. Yeah, I'm really messing this one up.
Well, they're trees. They're trees right yeah. now. They're really yeah. not shrubs. They're looked
be
at
shrubs.
As trees. And
right.
The old growth, yeah. they're so large that they just take so much energy mm-hmm. just to maintain those larger pieces. And mm-hmm. so you get very little growth annually when if it was, you know, a suggestion to take it all the way down to 6 inches in the ground, you're gonna generate so much more new growth.
Right.
And so much more... and we're talking 18 to 24 inches a year.
Wow.
Or is some of these native azaleas only growing 3 inches a year. Mm-hmm. And the blooms are all at the top mm-hmm. where you yeah, can't see them.
And the leaves are smaller.
Right.
They don't look nearly as vigorous.
Right. And they probably aren't nearly as vigorous.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
If they look like that, you know they're not happy. Because mm-hmm. they should be flowering. They should be full of flowers. They should be full of new growth. That's sweet. Things that
Azalea
are growing
Park.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it really isn't man-made in the sense that you know, in nature, again, fire is the missing element.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often, I mean, we don't introduce that in any way but cutting back old growth in shrubs ourselves, really. That's probably the most, that's what I'd compare it to.
And competing vegetation.
And competing vegetation.
Cutting back competing vegetation.
Right. There's a lot of that, too, that needs to be taken out.
Of course. So let's talk about these work parties.
Well, the city is I want to express our gratitude to the Master Gardener Club for partnering with us on this, because we really feel strongly about having people with knowledge to be involved in this process. Mm-hmm. And Scott and I have been talking about this well before we even invited Dick Cavender into town to do this. And so this relationship, I think, has worked out really well. We're going to have a group of people that are very knowledgeable in the process, the city who's very anxious and willing to learn from them and mm-hmm. partner with them to make the project happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're partnering together to put together these work parties and invite people to join up, whether they're working with Master Gardeners mm-hmm. or wanting to volunteer with the city. Come down.
Mm-hmm.
Get some information.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to put some gloves on, go to work, we're ready for
it. It's a great way to learn how to do it, you know.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think there's enough of us, as when I say Master Gardeners, to mm-hmm. there just aren't enough of us to mm-hmm. do this work. We need
Well, there's 850 some mm-hmm. plants. That's an enormous number of plants.
And I know there's a lot of you out there who definitely love Azalea Park. So this is one way to show it, that's for sure.
So the first one is September 16th. And I'm looking at the press release here. And it's volunteers are invited to meet in the lower parking lot off Old County Road at 9 a.m. Work parties will be formed as training will continue through 1 p.m. So you're working from 9 to 1, basically?
Two of the days.
And then there's another day that's in the afternoon, and that looks like it is September 22nd from noon to 4. So basically about 4 hours. You figure that's a good work party.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to focus on one area of the park. We're not going to overwhelm the park with a bunch of pruning. We're going to work on a specific area, and that way we can kind of monitor and graph how well they're doing and kind of evaluate how well they're doing as we're mm-hmm. working over the next couple of years. If you know, we do this area this year, we go to another maybe next year and come back and look at that one, see how, learn from what we did there,
mm-hmm.
what we might change.
Excellent. Yeah, good. And how many people would you be thrilled if they showed up? How many people do you need? Just take a guess. 500? No.
I let's say 500, and if we get 30, we'll be really happy. Yeah, that'd
be
great.
How many would you like to have there? How many would you like to have show up?
I think we could probably handle about 30 people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
We have a number of us, you know, mm-hmm. I think a base of probably about 10, 8 to 10. Yeah, that will mm-hmm. be kind of leading the way. But one of us, I think, can take a group of 3 or 4 each. So mm-hmm. probably about 30.
Great. Well, I'm sure there are at least 30 people in this town who would love to help. So yeah.
We'll have an information kiosk set up at the Sunday concert this weekend and then next weekend. So anybody who's interested in receiving any information about the rejuvenation project, they're welcome to come down to the concert. While they're at the concert, come over and visit the information booth, and we'll give them as much information as they can. I'll have a map that shows the azaleas that have been cataloged so far, and then there's also on that graphic that shows the variation of good to poor azaleas, and give you an example of what they look like, what we consider poor and what we consider good.
Excellent. Good.
And a pair of pruning saws, some good loppers. Mm-hmm. And a pair of gloves, especially with the brambles.
That's what people should bring with them.
Mm-hmm. That would be really really helpful, yeah.
So brambles, I'm assuming then we've got blackberry bushes and that kind
salmon
of stuff.
Berry, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, yeah. And those are all competing for mm-hmm. the nutrients, the sunlight, the water, everything that the native azaleas are looking for, right? Yep. Yeah, interesting. Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say before we close this? Is there anybody that people should get in touch with if they need more information or anything like that? Or should they just show up?
Well, they're welcome to call me. And my office number,
yes.
It's 469-1159. You can get more information
great.
That way. Or just show up. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, if you have any questions, you can also call us in the Master Gardener office at 541-247-6672 and be glad to talk to you about the project.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you both for showing up on the show. And, you know, I learned a lot and I'm sure everybody else did as well. And also thank you both for your service to the community. It makes a difference. So thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
And you've been listening to another KCIW podcast for the ongoing series, Our Community. If you enjoyed this, please visit our website, kciw.org, where we have over 80 other interviews with community leaders about all sorts of subjects. And while you're there, please consider donating to help us get on the air. We'd love to have you as a founding member, but any amount is very much appreciated. Thanks so much for your support. This is Candace Michelle. See you next time. Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.